From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, February 11th, 2019. And on this day, a new survey finds some Maine caseworkers feeling overwhelmed by an increase in reports of abuse and neglect of older people and adults with disabilities. And we'll look at the effort to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day in Maine. That's ahead in a moment. First tonight, the Maine Center for Disease Control is alerting Mainers about fake flyers circulating in southern Maine that warn about side effects of vaccines. Spokeswoman Emily Spencer says the flyers, which list an array of what the authors say are side effects from unspecified vaccines, falsely claim to come from the federal CDC.
The flyers claim to outline a list of what they say are known vaccine side effects, but they don't provide references or cite any sources.
The flyers also list a fake website address for the federal CDC, which links to an inactive site. Spencer says people should disregard the misleading flyers that have been appearing in big box stores. She says vaccines are important to protecting public health and are thoroughly tested and monitored. Some state caseworkers say they're being overwhelmed by a significant increase in reports of abuse and neglect of adults with disabilities and the elderly. The issue was identified in a recent survey conducted by the unions that represent state employees. As Patty White reports, the survey results also point to a lack of training and adequate staffing as just some of the problems affecting a variety of departments.
An investigator with Adult Protective Services, who says she's not speaking on behalf of Maine's Department of Health and Human Services and asked that her name not be used, says the number of reports of suspected abuse and neglect have been steadily increasing for months, if not years.
I was in my supervisor's office the other day just to talk about a case, and she looked up and she said, "We have had so many reports come in today that I'm having a hard time just reading them all."
The kinds of abuse reported span from physical to financial to sexual to cases of neglect. According to the Maine State Employees Association, caseworkers in Adult Protective Services used to get two new assignments per week, which may involve abuse or other crises. But the union says that new caseload has increased to upwards of five per week. And this caseworker laments that as the workload has increased, the number of caseworkers has not.
We are concerned. I mean, we've seen misfortunes happen with the Child Protective Services, and we don't want something similar to happen with the population that we are trying to protect.
She's referring to the abuse deaths of 10-year-old Marissa Kennedy and 4-year-old Kendall Chick, which prompted an investigation into the state's Department of Health and Human Services. Alec Maberduke, the executive director of the Maine State Employees Association, says in the aftermath of those deaths, the state did make some changes to improve conditions within Child Protective Services.
However, it was late, and so we're really trying to raise the public attention on this now to make sure that no further crises happen later.
Patricia Kimball of the Elder Abuse Institute of Maine, which provides transitional housing and support services to seniors in abusive situations, says she's noticed a slight uptick in numbers. She says that may be due to the state's growing proportion of seniors, as well as increased awareness about elder abuse, which generates an estimated 14,000 cases a year in Maine, but goes largely underreported.
The national statistics say that one out of every 24 cases is reported.
The co-chair of the Maine Council for Elder Abuse Prevention, Judy Shaw, says financial institutions have increased their reporting efforts after the council launched a senior safe training program in 2014.
That training program has trained almost 800 bank and credit union personnel throughout the state to identify red flags for elder abuse and elder financial exploitation and to educate them on what their reporting and referral options are.
But when those reports come in to the state's Adult Protective Services program, Alec Maberduke of the Maine State Employees Association says there aren't enough caseworkers to handle them. He points to a hiring freeze under former Governor Paul LePage as contributing to the understaffing problem, which was identified in a recent survey of 1,000 state employees. Inadequate equipment and training, low pay, and high turnover are other issues that survey respondents said affect their jobs. And Maberduke says the issues extend beyond DHHS to the Department of Environmental Protection, Transportation, and 911 dispatch centers.
It's basically time that we stop pretending like this is just a problem in one or two agencies and just recognize that it's an issue throughout state government.
DHHS Commissioner Jean Lambrew issued a written statement in response to the increased caseload for Adult Protective Services, saying the department will, quote, review the concerns outlined in the survey, get input from frontline workers, and work to improve the system. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
A new report finds many Maine districts are returning to traditional credit-based diplomas after lawmakers got rid of the state's proficiency-based diplomas law last year. The 2012 statute would have mandated that all Maine students reach proficiency in 8 subject areas, from math and English to foreign language, before graduating. But the legislature repealed that requirement last year after substantial pushback. A recently released survey finds only about a quarter of superintendents expect that their districts will continue with proficiency-based diplomas. Nearly 40%, meanwhile, plan to go back to traditional diplomas. Others are still unsure or are planning to use a hybrid model. Amy Johnson, the author of the study, says despite the changes, some parts of proficiency-based education have been popular with school officials and will likely stay. Yet some changes, like new grades using a 1-to-4 system instead of A's and B's, were much more controversial and unpopular.
That was a really big change from past practice, and I think that change was difficult for people. And so I wasn't surprised to see that some districts are moving away from that.
Some superintendents also said that the fluctuating education policies have led them to lose trust in the state. Construction's now underway on a new marina on Portland's eastern waterfront that'll be able to accommodate the super luxury vessels known as mega yachts. Four Points Marina is part of the long-planned redevelopment of the Portland Company complex, and Vanessa Pike, Director of Marina Sales and Marketing, says the 150-slip marina will address a developing need.
Portland is a destination for tourism now, and there's a lot of larger vessels that come into the area that just don't have the mooring or the availability for slips to tie up and to stay.
This will be the first time berths will be available for vessels up to 590 feet in Portland's harbor, but Pike says many tenants will be smaller vessels. And finally tonight, Maine lawmakers are being asked to consider what 7 states and more than 130 other cities and towns have done across the country: replace the Columbus Day holiday with Indigenous Peoples Day. Leaders of the Penobscot Nation and other supporters say the change would represent an important first step in correcting the historical record and rebuilding trust with its first inhabitants of Maine and the rest of the nation. Susan Sharon has details.
The idea to replace the federally recognized Columbus Day holiday with a celebration to honor Native people began in the late 70s at a United Nations conference in Switzerland. From there, it was adopted as a resolution by the state of South Dakota in 1989. A few years later, the city of Berkeley, California, became the first to formally establish Indigenous Peoples Day on the 500th anniversary of the first voyage of Italian explorer Christopher Columbus. And now, says bill's sponsor, Representative Ben Collings of Portland, it's only a matter of time before the change is universally embraced around Maine. Portland, Bangor, Orono, Belfast, and Brunswick are among the cities and towns that already have.
I greatly respect and honor the history of the Italian Americans and their contribution. However, I think we can honor their presence here without this day, which really doesn't, I think, isn't fitting.
It isn't fitting, supporters say, because Columbus is associated with dominance, cultural assimilation, and the massacre of North America's first inhabitants, who stewarded the land for thousands of years and somehow survived epidemics brought by European settlers and destruction of their homeland. Columbus never set foot in the continental United States, but he's been honored with a federal holiday since 1937.
It's still very much an attack in your spirit when you celebrate a man who really is the poster child for 500 years of genocide.
Former Penobscot Nation Chief Barry Dana told members of the legislature's State and Local Government Committee that in the hearts of Native people, the idea of replacing Columbus Day with a Native holiday is a big deal. not for reasons of political correctness, but for moral ones.
Let's celebrate us, and let's begin those healings, because Maine should not be a place that celebrates the memory of genocide.
I think we should celebrate you, but I think it should be your own celebration, not change what we already have.
Representative Frances Head of Bethel says she thinks Columbus Day should not be replaced. Instead, she says, a new and special holiday to honor Native people should be established. Chief Dana says his tribe already has those kinds of celebrations. What's needed, he says, is something else.
Maine has not addressed its relationship with Maine's First People. This would be a way of doing that.
And Penobscot member June Sapiel urged the committee to educate themselves about intergenerational trauma.
We are coming from a place of pain and suffering, and we're asking you to stand with us, like our ancestors did with your ancestors.
Maine lawmakers have previously rejected several similar attempts to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day, but this year supporters are hoping the time is ripe for change. 24 people testified in support of the bill. There was no opposition, but one committee member, Senator Susan DeChambeau, testified neither for nor against. DeChambeau said she worried that replacing Columbus Day with another state holiday would be a slight toward Italian Americans. She noted, however, that for her, this represents progress, because she previously voted against the bill. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, February 11th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.